The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
It's a minute after 7. I appreciate you waking up here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Matt, hey, Matt, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good, Bill. So, actually, I would have loved to have run this plan past your guest. He's great. But I did send this plan for how we handle immigration in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I sent it to an economist, and he was kind of talking about his concerns about having a lot of these illegal aliens deported because they were responsible for half the jobs last year, for example. So here's what we do going forward, because we're going to have some kind of immigration just for employment. So here's how I suggest that that Trump addresses this. First of all, to clear the decks, you enforce E-Verify.
Mm-hmm.
You come up with a fining schedule. I'm suggesting it could be $1,000, $5,000 per employee per day that you hire someone who's not legally here. That way the employers will deport these illegal aliens.
Do you have anything in your plan about making sure that wages aren't deductible unless they're actual legal citizens?
I don't. I'm addressing more the movement of the people.
Okay.
So that's a great idea, though. It's fantastic. So here's what you do. The government should contract with ZipRecruiter, maybe a couple of the other recruiting websites. You allow, instead of having the CBP app, which Trump is rightly canceled, you basically say, if you want to come into this country, you're going to go in and fill out a profile, including all your information. And then what's going to happen is these are going to be filtered through a security website that the government manages. So if Kristi Noem is running things, then it would have to go through some department. You can use AI with some of these supercomputers to go through this quickly to make sure that the people who are actually applying for the positions have the credentials. Then any employer who is saying, hey, I need 50 people to do job X, what they do is they go to the recruiting website. Their HR department is going to have to filter through the people they think are a good fit. Then they're going to have to go to the border. You can set up some kind of a facility. The immigrant that they're interested in, the immigrants they're interested in, are going to have to be job interviewed one by one. At that point, we'll collect fingerprints. We'll get biometrics, face, eyeball, whatever else we need to get.
And frankly, which is what American citizens have to do on our real ID issue, correct?
That's right. That's right. So what will happen is you say, okay, yes, I want these 50 people. Those people now become a ward of the company. I know some people would say it's indentured servitude.
Well, that reminds me very much of H-1B. Isn't that the way it is right now with H-1B?
Well, I don't know all the details of how the H-1B works. I'll bet there's some loopholes that some people squeak in that probably, you know, might be Chinese nationals and other people, because we have had spies working for various companies who snuck in here. So that's why I'm suggesting we collect all that information. Then they get hired. What happens from there is the employer bears all costs, housing, benefits. They're going to have to pay an increased tax to cover any schooling that person might need to cover. But all costs will never be borne by the government for any legal alien going through this process.
I like that idea in one respect, in which we've had a lot of, for many, many decades now, socialized costs with privatized profits in many of these businesses. But the costs have been socialized, right?
The banking crisis is a perfect example of that, right?
Exactly.
So what you do is you basically, they bear all costs for this. Then people will say, well, what do you do long term? Here's what I'm suggesting. If they're here, they stay at the job they're hired for 10 years. Their employment is solid. They haven't been reprimanded. They're not fired for 10 years. Then you can give them a path to citizenship if you want. The government can evaluate that and say, look, this person's come in. They worked for 10 years at the same place.
Followed the rules to get in, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so there's a carrot along with the sticks in the early part. Okay. All right.
Yep.
All right. It's not the worst idea I've heard. I'll have to think about that. But, yeah, so a lot of moving parts to it, though. I appreciate the thinking, though, Matt. 770. Actually, let's hold the calls here for right now. We'll check news, and then we'll get back to this. We'll have some more open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday in about a half hour or so. Coming up, I have Dr. Jeffrey Barkey, MD, and we're going to be weighing in on another, well, it's not actually a Trump initiative, but it was certainly a photo op the other day about Stargate, the AI program in which they're going to come up with the vaccine, the mRNA vaccine for your cancer, you know, that kind of thing. Dr. Barkey and his co-author, Dr. Edward Gear, MD, are not big fans of this plan, but we'll kick that around and more coming up.
Hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. President Trump is wasting no time, sparing no resources, and reasserting federal...
Here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning. Now, AI is certainly something we're already dealing with, and we're not going to be able to avoid working on it. I must say, though, that the other day, hearing Jeffrey Ellison, one of those tech bros, talk about, hey, how great it would be to get this new mRNA vaccine designed for you 48 hours later after AI looks at your blood, didn't exactly cheer me, although it sounds, you know, really, really cool. But I'm thinking about the, you know, this whole idea of computer-generated vaccines and more. And, of course, Ellison is the same guy that not all that long ago had been actually promoting or talking about, boy, you know, we'd be a lot better behaved if we had AI surveillance cameras everywhere, too. Hey, what could go wrong here? Needless to say, I wanted to talk with some people about the vaccine conversation, and Dr. Jeffrey Barkey joins me. He's the co-author of Unavoidably Unsafe, Childhood Vaccines Reconsidered, board-certified primary care physician, private practice over a quarter century. What, UC Irvine Medical School, various other places you graduated from, doctor? Welcome to the show. Good to have you on.
Yes, I graduated from University of California, Irvine Medical School. And Bill, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Okay. Now, are you still down in Southern California, or did you leave after the pollution and the fires? I don't know.
I'm in Orange County, California. I live coastal. We've been spared the fires, but we have not been spared the politics, for sure.
I bet that is certainly true. Now, the thing is, it's interesting. The mRNA vaccines have gotten a real bad rap over the last few years, and I think deservedly so, especially after warp speed and the COVID implementation, in which you either take these or else you're going to lose your job. A lot of people I knew got bounced out of work, especially in the medical industry. Many of them have been getting hired back. Now the Trump administration is pushing to have these people put back into the military, so much more. And what is a way to what is a good way to think about this when you have the AI tech bro saying, hey, we're going to have a mRNA vaccines designed for you, custom designed for you. And we're going to sell sell AI to you based on curing your cancer, that kind of thing. And I'll tell you, that'll move a lot of needles for people. You know that.
Oh, for sure. I think it's an important question. First of all, messenger RNA are things that are naturally made in the nucleus of our cell. Mm-hmm. What's different here and what's different with the COVID vaccine, it's the first time in human history we've asked the protein manufacturing machinery of our cell to manufacture a non-human protein, the spike protein. And we know what happened. This vaccine should be pulled from the market. It's not even a vaccine. It has caused more injury and destruction than I've ever seen in my entire career, from sudden deaths in young athletes to heart inflammation to a reemergence of things like Bell's palsy, Guillain-Barré, and now we're seeing turbo cancers as a result of immune dysregulation. So mRNA technology possibly has the ability to do some good. The problem is we all have, and we should, post-traumatic mRNA, kind of trauma from the last 3 years of this messenger RNA COVID vaccine.
Hey, I'm right with you, doctor. It's like you want to pull out your silver crucifix, you know, against the vampire. It just got such a bad name. But I was wondering if it was just a part and nature of the mRNA technology. And you're saying that's not the case, or it is the case?
No, well, nature, yes, our body uses messenger RNA. That's the way in which the nucleus of every cell in our body communicates with the ribosomes, sixth grade science, for those ribosomes to create proteins. What's different here is we inject that mRNA into the body with a coded message to tell the ribosomes to make a particular type of protein. In the case of the COVID vaccine, we're telling our cells to make a non-human protein. Think of that movie, The Fly, when the guy goes through the transporter and gets mixed up with some fly DNA and then slowly turns into a fly. It's not exactly that, but it has caused so much damage to our body,
when our body is manufacturing something that is not human. Hmm. So in the case of AI, I mean, we've all used it in various things, whether it's Siri on our iPhone or ChatGPT. That's AI, and it's here to stay, and it can have definite benefits. But we need to be very, very careful with this messenger RNA technology. I'm not opposed to it. But we need to, it needs to be safety tested. It is not right for prime time. And to come out and say that right at the get-go, sorry about the last 3 years of killing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, and causing all kinds of problems with this mRNA COVID vaccine, but we're going to jump right into it again, but only this time with AI. It's a bit early. I don't think it was the proper thing to do to be launching this. Now, here's the good news, though, Bill. I don't think we are ever going to see mandatory vaccines again, whether it be a vaccine against COVID and hopefully coming soon, the dropping of mandates for school vaccines for children. So if that's on the horizon and informed consent is given and nobody is forced to get anything that's biologic or experimental, then the development of these mRNA artificial intelligence vaccines, at least we can look from a distance and then make a decision whether we want to participate.
All right. So, Doctor, you, like I said, a co-author of Unavoidably Unsafe, Childhood Vaccines Reconsidered. And I know that I started changing things around a little bit on my thought about childhood vaccines. I don't know how old you are. I'm 63. So
I'm 62.
Okay, so we're peers then. And got into government school 1967, you know, sort of thing. I skipped kindergarten. And I remember, yeah, you got the polio vaccine, and I think I got a measles vaccine, or maybe it was smallpox. Could have been smallpox at that time. I seem to recall it was like three or four vaccines, and that's all I got the entire time growing up. Maybe it was a few more, and I've forgotten, you know, some of them over time. And then when I had a daughter, my first child, in the early 1990s, and it was like, you know, visiting the pediatrician was like, you might as well line up the, you know, the machine gun of needles going into it. What changed between then and now? And I know now the childhood vaccine schedule is massive contrasted to when we were kids.
It's not only massive, but at least in California and many states, it's mandated. In California, you could not attend a public or private school without being fully vaccinated. There are no exemptions except homeschooling. So what changed was in the mid-1980s, Ronald Reagan signed into law a rule that gave vaccine manufacturers immunity from all liability. And immediately the vaccine companies ramped up their production and more vaccines were added to the CDC childhood vaccine schedule. Every new vaccine that's added to the childhood vaccine schedule is a billion with a B dollar annuity to that vaccine company. They don't have to advertise. The CDC does it for them. You see it on TV when you're watching sporting events, various vaccines. You go into pharmacies, they're advertised for you. You go into your pediatrician or primary care doctor. Well, child check. Mm-hmm. Here's another vaccine that's been added. So that's what changed, is that there is no liability to the vaccine companies. So why the heck not would they not come out with new vaccines and add to that growing annuity?
And it's a perverse incentive, in other words, is what's happening. Yeah, yes, because that actually explains a lot. I never looked at it from that point. At first, I was just thinking, well, you know, the government is asking for these vaccines and the companies provide it, and hence they give them the extraordinary privilege of no liability against this. But because remember, the vaccine companies, if I recall, before President Reagan did that at the time, were threatening to pull out of certain markets because of the liability, which, of course, is indicating, though, that they were having problems with vaccines. Isn't that the unspoken, you know, part of all of this?
Well, of course. And that's where the name Unavoidably Unsafe comes from. There is a court ruling that said basically vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. There is nothing you can do to make these things perfectly safe. So we all have to take one for the team because they're so important. The problem is it's not clear that these vaccines don't cause more harm than good. And that's the point of the book. Unavoidably Unsafe, Childhood Vaccines Reconsidered, is designed to be a guidebook for parents, grandparents, anybody interested in the childhood vaccine schedule. If you simply read the package insert that the FDA requires and do that, I think you'll have your mind changed about whether or not you want to put these poisons into your body. Every package insert bill has a section 13.1. It says something like, and I'm paraphrasing, this vaccine has not been tested to see if it causes cancer or interferes with reproductive health. Every vaccine that we put in our children's arms has that section. 13.1, don't believe me if you're listening to this, Google it. 13.1 section in the package insert. So we're giving babies, newborns actually, this kind of product that we don't even know if it can affect cancer or their reproductive health. And then you look at the ingredients in many of these vaccines. Aluminum, which is a neurotoxin. Formaldehyde in many cases. Polysorbate 80, which is a toxin and potentially causes cancer. And more. I'm not anti-vax. I just want parents to have informed consent. Know what's in the vaccine. Know about the studies that brought it to market. Know the ingredients. Know about Section 13.1. And then you make the best decision for your child. Right now in the United States, parents do not get informed consent. They are bullied into getting these vaccines, and I think that's wrong.
Oregon, you're able to get exemptions for this, but they've been coming after it just about every state legislature session here, Doctor, to remove the exemptions so that you're required to get them for your kids. Of the vaccines that are there, which ones are the most problematic? And I bring this up because I remember reading how the country of Japan banned the MMR vaccine because they were having massive problems with issues, with reactions in their childhood population. And yet it is something which is still, you know, given here in the United States. I had a son who arguably had some, or a grandson rather, arguably had genetic problems to start with, you know, some issues in the genetic background from the other side of the family. And after MMR descended into a semi-vegetative state, great brain damage, and he's going to be this way the rest of his life.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, and yet even the mother of that child, you know, is still swearing, you know, in on vaccines. And I don't know if it's just kind of like doubling down even after you saw what happened, but which ones are more problematic than others? There must be some indicators out there.
There are, and it's not the mother's fault. She doesn't know any better, and the doctors are telling her what she believes. In Chapter 3 of our book, it's titled Meet the Risky Six. These are the six most risky vaccines. Of course, COVID-19 is the top of the list. Under no circumstances should any child receive this messenger RNA vaccine.
But they're always advertising it for the kids, everywhere
yes,
you go.
Yes, they are, and CDC recommends it all the way down to 6 months of age. Next on the list is hepatitis B, then RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, then influenza. This year it's got thimerosal back in it. That's the mercury-derived preservative. Then DTaP, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. And then ending the list is MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella. That's the risky six. That's Chapter 3 of our book.
You know, I got a DTaP a number of years ago, three, 4 years ago, because I end up occasionally getting cut while I'm working on a lot of equipment, you know, as I was kind of concerned about tetanus. Was I unwise to have picked that up because you can't get tetanus separately any longer, from what I understand?
No, you can't get tetanus separately, and there's nothing. Cutting yourself on machinery and working in your garage is not the mechanism by which you get tetanus.
It's not?
I see this all the time. Oh. You go into the urgent care center, you cut yourself on a bagel knife in your kitchen, and they want to give you a tetanus shot. First of all, to your audience, Google tetanus. How many cases of tetanus are there in the United States? Mm-hmm. It's a handful. You don't get tetanus by cutting yourself in the workshop. You get tetanus by stepping on a rusty nail in the garden with soil that has a tetanus spore in it. And by the way, if that happens, you simply rinse the wound out thoroughly. Tetanus cannot grow in an aerobic, air-filled environment. And if you do cut yourself, a tetanus shot does not fix it. You need tetanus toxoid or anti-venom. A tetanus shot is not the treatment for a tetanus-prone wound, but nobody will tell you that. You go into the urgent care center, you can't even get a standalone tetanus. You have to get the whole DTaP. And of course, they make money on your behalf, and then you end up injured because in the tetanus shot is all kinds of ingredients that you would not want to put into your body.
Okay, well, it doesn't seem to have caused much problem for me at this point, but I will keep that in mind next time it comes about here, because I haven't had many I haven't had many adult vaccines here. One thing that gets advertised a lot, though, are the pneumonia vaccines. Do you have any opinion on those? A lot of those.
Sure. I mean, again, all I want is informed consent. So you need to break out the package insert. You need to read it carefully. Section 13.1 is there in the pneumonia shot that says, we don't know if this product causes cancer. We don't know if this product causes a problem with your reproductive health. Then you need to look at the ingredients and the adjuvants, the things that are designed to stimulate your immune system.
Now, those are the ones like when they put an aluminum compound, let's say, or squalene oil, is that how it's pronounced, I think? That sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Aluminum is a common one. Aluminum is a neurotoxin. And in my opinion, I would never purposefully inject that into my body. So then you need to basically say, if I get pneumonia, is it treatable? And are there ways to prevent myself from getting pneumonia in the first place? And am I at high risk? So you need to weigh all those factors before you just simply give up your arm and allow somebody to inject these chemicals in your body. And then you need to realize that if you get a reaction to this product, if you're injured by that product, you're out of luck. You can't go after the vaccine company. You have no recourse against anybody if you are injured by this product. And there are people injured all the time. I can't tell your audience what to do, but I can tell you, hard pass for me. I would not put a pneumonia vaccine into my body.
Okay. Would you say the same thing about shingles? And I know that that's something else that as we age a bit, the doctors tend to hit us up on that. What is your medical opinion? This is your opinion your opinion only, okay? We're not giving advice, but what are you saying?
They do hit you up. First of all, I wouldn't want anybody to get shingles.
It's horrible.
It's a miserable illness.
They're miserable.
But we're pretty good at treating it if we treat it early. Also, the point of the shingle shot is not to prevent shingles. It's to prevent the complication of shingles that is post-herpetic neuralgia. You get shingles, it goes away, but you still have pain. Again, we're pretty good at treating that if we can treat you early. And then you have to weigh that with the risks of the vaccine itself. And people are harmed all the time from putting a shingles vaccine into their arm. You won't see this, but if you read the package insert, and in particular, the post-marketing survey, the information that the vaccine company is required to put into the package insert after the vaccine has been road tested, what are the incoming side effects and injuries as a result of the vaccine? So what I would encourage your audience to do, whether you read my book, Unavoidably Unsafe, or just simply Google package insert for fill in the blank, whatever shot you're about to get, and then read it carefully. Look at section 13.1. Look at section 6.2, which is the post-marketing information. Look at the ingredients section, and then you make a determination. Most of the ingredients you won't even be able to pronounce. You will have never heard the names of. And just like if you're reading labels at the supermarket, if you see things on the labels that you can't pronounce, why would you want to put them into your body?
Dr. Jeffrey Barkey, MD, with me. Dr. Barkey, what about... And, the issues with childhood vaccines, would we be better off if we were giving individual vaccines like Dr. Paul up in Portland used to talk about? Of course, he was bounced out of the medical world, for having to fight this. Remember, he had pretty much an unvaccinated pediatrician patient list, they had there, and they came after him, Oregon Medical System. And one of the things that has been talked about is how we combine so many vaccines. It's like we'll test vaccines individually, but then we combine them, but we don't test them in combination. And could this be an issue that is not talked about?
Well, it's 100% an issue, but they do that mainly because there's just too many needles and people would reject that. In California, in order to get through high school and be compliant with the vaccine requirement in California, there are no exemptions. There's no medical exemption. Mm-hmm. There's no religious exemption. You have to get the vaccine schedule. So, of course, you would be better off if individually you could give somebody one vaccine, watch them carefully, and then add to that. But it's just too expensive, and it would never be accepted by the public. There's a vaccine on the market called Vaxelis, and it combines six different childhood vaccines into one. And I would never put that into somebody's body. It's funny, I did a fake post not long ago where I described a brand new vaccine put out by the CDC called Total Vax. And it's 12 different vaccines in one that you can give a child so they only need a few shots throughout their lifetime. And of course, people believed it. They're like, oh, yeah, well, that sounds like a good idea. That's awesome. Only one shot. But that's the nonsense that we've been teaching the public. Combined vaccines given recurrently over and over again, the toxic burden to a small child is just overwhelming. Informed consent is so important, and these vaccines need to be studied for safety and efficacy, and they simply have not. And with a little luck, Bobby Kennedy Jr. at HHS will make a push to revisit again the childhood vaccine schedule, making sure that it's safe and effective for all our kids.
Doctor, do you think that the conventional standard issue MD is coming around to more of a different way of thinking about this? Because I know that I have a relative of mine, close relative of mine, who has just been in a world of hurt ever since being forced to get the mRNA shot to keep his job back in the COVID time a number of years ago. And two doctors that he's gone to now have actually gone on the record, and they would never have done so before, and said, yes, you have Meniere's disease from the reaction to the vaccine. It's what he ends up having along with, you know, various other things. And, you know, I never thought I'd see conventional doctors doing this. Is that a change of heart, or did my relative just get lucky in running into people?
Well, listen, I think as a result of many of us that are speaking out, as a result of Bobby Kennedy's efforts with Children's Health Defense, as a result of Elon Musk making Twitter free speech again, the word is now getting out. Whereas we used to be censored, we used to be sanctioned by the medical board, and that part is easing up. So doctors like me and others are able to speak the truth, even if you don't believe it. It's important to have this voice out there in the public. All I want to do is educate parents. Chapter 21 in our book is the five questions to ask your pediatrician or whoever the doctor is that's going to provide the vaccines. This section right here may be the most valuable part of the book. Here's what you need to ask the doctor. Like, how likely is it that my child is actually going to get the disease that you're vaccinating against them? And the one I love the most is question five. Have you, doctor, actually reviewed the package insert, and can you explain it to me? I will promise you that about 95% of all doctors have never read the package insert for any of the products that they are going to put into your child. And if they don't know about it, you certainly don't want to put it into your child.
Why is it that they don't know?
Because they're taught something very differently. In medical school, we are taught unequivocally there is no relationship between vaccines and autism or chronic illness, that vaccines are safe and effective, and shut up and just buy this party line and move along. That's what we are taught. We are never given a course on vaccine safety. We are never presented the studies that brought these products to market. We are never told that not a single childhood vaccine was ever tested against an inert placebo like saline. Yes, you heard me correct. Not a single vaccine was tested for safety and efficacy against a inert ingredient like saline.
Well, what do they test them against then?
They test them against either older generations of vaccines, or they test them against the vaccine minus the antigen. The antigen is the viral particle that's in the vaccine that we want our body to react. So all they do is they take all the janky ingredients, all the polysorbate 80, aluminum, thimerosal, whatever's in the vaccine, and they simply remove the antigen. And they use that as a control group. So the control group is getting the same chemicals as the study group minus the antigen. And so when they both react similarly and they have the same side effects.
Well, there's no difference. There's no additional danger from the vaccine, right?
Correct.
Oh,
that's right.
Okay. To me, that speaks of medical fraud is what that would seem like to me.
Correct. And the FDA requires a very different standard for drugs that come to the market that always have to be tested against a placebo, an actual placebo. The vaccines are at a very different standard. They don't have that requirement. And that's why we see so many vaccines popping up on the childhood vaccine schedule. It's a billion-dollar annuity for every new vaccine that makes it to the schedule without any liability. I'd like a business like that. I'd like the government to force patients to come see me, and then if I screw up on them, I have no liability. It's a perfect business model.
Yeah, what could go wrong with a model like that? Do you think there's any political will to address the liability issue? Because the one thing you can say about having liability for your product is that you'll probably be a little more careful. I'm just talking about, you know, just anybody. If you're told, hey, no problem, we'll fix it later. You know, if there's an issue, don't worry about it, just put it out. Or, no, you got to make sure that it's safe, you know, before you give it to people. It would seem to me that having some liability would actually help the system. Would it not?
100%. There is no other product that I'm aware of where the manufacturer of that product has no liability. I mean, would you drive your car to work if you knew that if the airbag exploded, it was nobody's fault and you're out of luck? Or take your car to a mechanic and if your brakes fail, it's nobody's fault and they said, sorry about that, you know, have a nice day. Uh-huh. But vaccines, that's the case. So yes, I do think that there is a movement, if you will, to remove that law. And if we are lucky enough to get Bobby Kennedy appointed and confirmed to HHS, as a reminder to your audience, Health and Human Services is an umbrella organization under which sits the CDC, the FDA, the National Institutes of Health, and Centers for Medicaid and Medicare. So if he gets finally confirmed to that position, I've met him multiple times. I know how he feels about vaccines. He cares about safety. He wants these vaccines retested for safety, and he wants that immunity shield removed, and I think it's the right thing to do.
Jeffrey Barkey, MD, and he is co-author of Unavoidably Unsafe, Childhood Vaccines Reconsidered. And do you have a separate website for the book or anything else where people can find out more?
They can find it right on Amazon, so okay. It's for sale there. My Instagram, if you want to follow me, every Friday I do an Informed Consent Friday, and I talk about a vaccine or a drug, and that's RX4 Liberty, RX4, four spelled F-O-R Liberty. I have a website, RX for Liberty, too. There is a link there to order the book or just directly on Amazon.
Very interesting, thought-provoking, and, Doctor, a pleasure getting a chance to meet you down in Southern California, out on the coast. You be well out there, and don't burn up, okay? We'll see you.
Thanks, Bill.
All right,
Appreciate it. Take care.
738 KMED, 99.3 KBXG, ran a little bit long, and we'll be back after the Hannity update, and happy to take more of your calls for the rest of this hour on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. That was a pretty good Conspiracy Theory Thursday guest, wouldn't you say?
One of each, K4VIN 016551 MSRP.
Got something on your mind? Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
I love it. By the way, we'll get to your calls here right after news, so you want to line up, 770-5633. We've had some pretty heavy-duty conversations over the last hour between the various guests, immigration, and, of course, AI and vaccines and childhood vaccine schedules and so much more. We get a dad joke. Dad joke of the day, sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. This dad joke, submitted by Linda. What do you get when Trump's 17-year-old granddaughter, Kai Trump, visits the White House? What do you get when Trump's granddaughter, Kai Trump, visits the White House? Ovaltine. Get it? Oval. Yeah, okay. All right. I laughed. I laughed when I read it. There we go. Thank you, Linda. If you think you have a better one, go to twodogsfab.com and submit your dad joke, all right? By the way, Two Dogs Fabricating, Southern Oregon's exclusive North Star dealer, and if they don't have the perfect flatbed, Two Dogs will build a custom flatbed for you and a local dealer for Iron Bull heavy-duty trailers made by North Star. And they have a line of North Star light duty trailers. Trailers, fabricating, it's all there, okay? 770-5633. We'll get to the open phones next.
Don't settle for it.
Bill London, KMED.
746. Meanwhile, a bunch of other protesters from the Summer of Love ended up winning their lawsuit against the federal government, right? They said that the Homeland Security Director at that time was not properly appointed. And so when he sent the marshals to stop the Summer of Love protesters, that they overstepped their authority. Yay. Yay, ACLU. It's not that they didn't do the crime. It was kind of like getting them off on a technicality, really. Dave's here. Hey, Dave, yeah, you were happy with what the immigration fella, Joe Cazardi, was talking about, quoting the laws that Oregon is violating with immigration, being sanctuary state. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm thinking that they can't do anything to the county commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to go start coordinating with ICE, Department of Justice, the jails are limited space and the feds rent mm-hmm. 20 beds from them, you know, like a month that they have to keep open for federal and, you know, federal prisoners.
Would you like to see our local sheriffs perhaps look at these laws and maybe decide, okay, if I'm going to tee off some tyrant, would you rather tee off the governor or tee off the president at this point in time? What do you think?
Well, I think that if the if some like attorney general tried to prosecute the sheriff or even the county commissioners for coordinating the issues, mm-hmm. I think they might get arrested and not the sheriff. By the way,
I think all it takes is first off is for the federal government just to start enforcing these those two laws that Joe was talking about and enforcing them strictly, and then seeing what happens. Okay.
I think so, but I think that they can. I believe the Red County sheriffs, like Jackson County and mm-hmm. Siskiyou County. I mean, you know, I'm including California on that. I think that they could get protection from the federal government from anything happening. I think this because this is definitely the federal government's jurisdiction.
And it's not the state's jurisdiction, and that was the point being here. Everything about sanctuary state law is illegal on its face. All right. Hey, I really appreciate the call there, Dave, and happy to take your call, too. 770-5633. Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Have at it.
Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center, and I'm always going to tell you what I think the best deals are right now and what I got.
Hi, this is Lisa, the Hughes Lumber Girl, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
94-877-0-5633. It is your calls on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Brian Weldon is checking in from Josephine County. Brian, I opened the show talking about the coverage of the dismantling of the 24/7 homeless encampments at next to the police department in Grants Pass. And I think that the news stations kind of presented a distorted picture of it. But I was curious if there were any empty or if there were any open beds over at Gospel Rescue Mission. Do you know? Do you have anybody or do you know anybody who does?
Yes. I've talked to Brian, the owner there, and they last summer were half empty, a little more than half empty. Now they're still very much empty over there with dozens of rooms for men and separate rooms for women. But the number one problem with the Gospel Mission and You Save for Christ and the one in Medford, none of these homeless people, because they're addicted, want to follow any of the rules. The Gospel Mission has 4 or 5 pages of jobs, from entry-level jobs to high-tech jobs, where these people could get employed immediately and change their life for the better. None of them want to change their life because the number one problem, and everybody, well, this is why we have a new mayor and new council, is we need to stop the enabling. The enabling is keeping these people addicted, keeping them living in the parks and the bushes and car campers and you name it. And it's too easy for them to continue this addicted lifestyle.
Well, it's much easier to continue to love the addiction than it is to get off that. And I was concerned that was kind of given short shrift in the news coverage of it. Now, I watched a story on Channel 12 and they interviewed a guy. And then listener Jim emails me and tells me, hey, listen, I had that guy inside my home for 5 years. And, you know, he drank and stole. It just caused all sorts of problems. And they were just making it sound on. And now I get it when you send a 22-year-old out there to do stories on this kind of stuff. They just see people having a tough time and they don't have enough life experience to understand, you know, the nuance of the other aspects that are contributing to this problem, other than the fact that the city of Grants Pass or the city of whatever is shutting something down.
Yes. Well, last, you know, the story the other day from KGRB News, the second sentence out of his mouth is his park watch, you know, is running them out of the parks, being mean to them. All last summer, we were called vigilantes. I'm sick and tired of this. This is never going to change unless we, you know, make these people follow the rules that the rest of us all have to follow.
Or maybe what we could do. What do you think about this, Brian? What if we were to assign a homeless drug addicted person to every news media reporter who reports on this and said, okay, now I'll tell you what. you're responsible for taking care of this person here for the next, a few days, let's say a few days to a week or so, and then get back to me about what it really takes, all right?
Yeah.
Let's really go.
Most people don't know this story, but this happened just a couple of days ago. They're moving them all out of J Street, which was a huge encampment there. They're moving them all out, and they're moving them out next to the police station on 7th Street. Well, all of a sudden, the businesses around the J Street one, there's one company there that has lumber trucks and two trailer semi-diesels. All of a sudden, they're noticing now that 14 of their large batteries in every one of the semi-trucks has been stolen.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me know, Brian. Keep up on this. Lucretia. This is your day. It is Conspiracy Theory Thursday. What are you thinking?
Well, first off, I want to thank you. Incredible doctor that you had on.
Dr. Barkey. Okay, now, the problem is, though, with you endorsing it, now I'm going to get hate mail. You know that.
No, people need to wake up because it's bad out there. Even the new drugs aren't properly tested. And it's just amazing. Well, we've just got to eat healthy. Anyway, I wanted to comment on the first person that called in about the changeover of all the weather reporters.
Oh, yeah, the weather reporting that's changing at KDRV. They're going to a national reporter because they own the Weather Channel.
And you're not allowed to talk anything about geoengineering. And that's a fact. But I would love to play just 1 minute of this girl. She's a riot. Supposedly she's moved into this area, but Ariana Masters. And the title of this one is When One of Us Gets Accidentally Hired. Let me just play this because it's such a riot.
So, okay, I hope I can hear it. It doesn't have any cussing in it, does it?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No, and she's wearing this green, just kind of a cut off. It's a woman's top, but it's not like the sexy little top. She has long hair. It's not curled, and she's wearing a tinfoil hat.
Okay, she's wearing a tinfoil hat. All right, so she's wearing the Lucretia hat. Go ahead.
Yeah, and she's got big glasses on.
Okay, big glasses, even better. That's like the Fox News smart girl look. Okay, go ahead.
There you go.
Big storm heading into the Northeast. You know, it's interesting, Tom. We have this kind of tropic ice over here, but fire rampaging over here. Low of this heavy precipitation might have very natural atmosphere.
You're talking about here, Florida.
Nearly 0% humidity.
I'll tell you what, Lucretia, send me a link to that. It's not coming through. I have a feeling this would be a very funny thing. Send me the link to her, and I'll take a listen to it and see if I can get it on. It's not coming through the phone, okay?
Oh, it's not?
I'm sorry, but I appreciate your your attempt. I love the humor, too, but I'd love to hear it. Just send me the link, okay? Yeah, unfortunately, you get it over the internet, and then you put it over a cell phone. Just not working, you know? Hello, Lynn. How are you this morning? Welcome. Conspiracy Theory Thursday, front and center.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, well, I wanted to agree with Lucretia, and thank you for having Jeff Barkey on. And just to add a couple of things to that.
Okay.
This is the public health scandal of the last 40 years, and people are still so brainwashed. But, you know, I got into this because both of my kids were injured by their vaccines, and it's quite a trip.
Well, what changed me was observing what happened to my grandson, like I had mentioned. And
right.
He cannot be anything more than what he is right now. Now he's with his grandmother in Portland, who has been caring for him, thank goodness, and just loves him dearly. But it is a situation where, you know, after the MMR, he can't function. In fact, he's going to be functioning his entire life at about a 5-year, 4 to 5-year-old, you know, kind of level. That's just where he is right now.
It's just criminal what these people have done, because they've consigned, you know, millions of children to injury and a subset of those to permanent disability, like your grandson. And it's very difficult to get anyone to look at it unless it happens to them. So it's pretty hard. But I wanted to point out a couple things. One, it's these people are getting so corrupt that they are dispensing with placebos altogether. And you can find that. You can find all the package inserts online at the FDA for every vaccine. And for example, one of the Hep B vaccines, and I can't think of the name of it exactly, it's Engerix or something like that. It starts with an E. And it was tested on just a few hundred subjects for 5 days with no placebo. And now they give it to every newborn infant.
Dr. Barkey was mentioning this this way that they test vaccines now, which is you don't have a true placebo, which would be a saline solution. And then what they do is that they have all the ingredients in the vaccine except for the for the virus thing, the virus part.
The but antigens, they
but they give everything else, and they call that a placebo. So you're still having the adjuvants and the various other ingredients, which could be causing these reactions. And so you get the same reaction from the fake placebo as you do from the real vaccine. So you're thinking, oh, okay, it's no problem. No additional problems here.
Right.
Go ahead,
that's
give
what
it.
They've been doing that's what they've been doing for decades. That's the subject of the book, Turtles All the Way Down, where it's a giant Ponzi scheme. But now they're going the next step and not even bothering with the placebos.
Mm-hmm.
And you can read the clinical studies in the vaccine inserts.
But now they want to have artificial intelligence make them. We won't. Well, we don't need placebos because artificial intelligence will be perfection, right?
Well, that's Larry Ellison, and he's a tech bro, and he's in love with technology, and he's in Silicon Valley. He's clueless that these vaccines are already pretty much on their way out.
Well, but remember, he's the same guy, though, that said if we had AI surveillance cameras, that we'd be behaving a whole lot better in society.
Yeah, I hope Trump knows what he's doing, because I'm not entirely comfortable with these people, but at least they're coming to Trump's feet to get on his good side.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll have some influence over the horrible things that they want to do.
And by the way, I wanted to make sure that people understand that the Operation Stargate is actually not a government program. It's the tech bros getting together and working about financing the $500 billion, et cetera. But needless to say, the federal government has a great interest in essentially the AI race with China and other nations. And it's serious. You know, it's a serious stuff. It can be used for many other things. But I do find it interesting, of all the things that Larry could use to sell AI, mRNA vaccines, it's probably not the best thing to be marketing at the moment. Could have come up with some other things.
No, but I'm just going to assume nobody knew he would say that. It's making heads explode everywhere, which is kind of good. So put everyone on notice. We're not going there.
Yeah. Well, and remember that the tech bros, and I would include Elon in this group too, they essentially are the technocrats that think that the world is a much better place with them in charge of it. And that's what we have to remind ourselves. And they tend to look at us as a farm, or as animals to be farmed for our data. And that's how they make their money. Anyway, have a great day.
Elon's changing. So he's changed quite a bit. He saved free speech, and maybe he'll continue to change.
It's from your lips there. Thank you very much, Lynn. All right. A couple minutes after 8, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass is where you are.
One of each, K4 VIN 016551, MSRP 24145, Telluride VIN 593123, MSRP.